Grace Potter and the Nocturnals have their first major label album out and are poised for bigger things after purposefully waiting for the right time to go for it. The band started in Vermont and even shared quarters at Grace's parents' home named Potterville. They joined us on stage at the Exponential Music Festival this past summer, and I joined Grace backstage and asked her about the new album's title, This Is Somewhere.
Now, my understanding about the title, and you tell me how that fits into, you know, the concept, no concept, whatever it is, This Is Somewhere, kind of a reaction to Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere?
Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere is definitely one of those records that really stuck with us. And oddly enough, you know, that picture on the cover is, I mean, he's very lonely looking.
Yes,
you know,
and Neil Young we're talking about.
Young, exactly. And the whole thing with This Is Somewhere, it sprung from that in a certain way, but also it sprung from the fact that we were really transplanted to Los Angeles to make this record, which is awful idea for us. I mean, we hate cities. We can't deal with the whole idea of being cooped up in a studio for 4 months doing the same thing over and over again. It's like a day job, you know? And what we wanted to do was kind of take ourselves out of location and also really set ourselves into, I mean, the location being the music and not worrying so much about being, you know, in Burbank, California.
Yeah. So what's life like back in Potterville compared to that? Do you actually call where you hang?
Yeah.
It's your family compound or whatever was
Potterville,
it?
Yeah. It's Potterville. My dad's really a small man, and that's where it came from, actually, the Hobbitville. There was a confusion for a long time as to whether it's Hobbitville or Potterville.
Yeah.
The Potterville thing sort of transcended from the fact that so many people have been Potterized in our lives, including
That's
every
funny.
Member of the band. Every member of the band was living there at one point or another, so luckily they've had the good sense to move away before they get too deep.
It's interesting. You're there. You're still sort of there. Your dad is Sparky.
Sparky.
It sounds like he's one of the most fascinating guys I've ever heard about.
He totally is.
What exactly does he? Seems like he's an audiovisual with the accent on the visual kind of guy.
Absolutely, you got it. I mean, the audio always, I think that's the part that sort of seeped into my subconscious as a kid, but the visual is what he does. I mean, he's a sign maker. You know, it's funny because there's all the Ben & Jerry's carts out there at the festival right now, and my dad does all that stuff. So he mainly does like the scoop shop stuff. And stuff. But I mean, that's his living. But way back in the 70s, you know, he had this multimedia production company called Dream On Productions, and that's where the cover art came from, actually, for the record.
I want to talk about that in a second because it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
I've heard descriptions of your house and walls of vinyl. Is that
okay? The record collection is really a mountain in and of itself. I mean, we could do a whole interview just on that because it's such a big part of what I grew up with. And I didn't know what tape cassettes were until 1994, you know what I mean? And let alone CDs. I spent my whole childhood digging through those records and, you know, I mean, like Spooky Tooth or you know, Steel Eye Span. And I mean, everything that you could ever imagine a kid digging up. And it mainly was based on the cover art because, you know, the cooler the record cover, the more I want to dig in.
Well, listening to what you and the Nocturnals do, one would not think of the fact that Celtic music was actually something you played early on also?
A lot, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that my reality. Also, being from Vermont, there's such a, you know, strong contingency of folk music and traditional music. And I took lessons. I actually took lessons on the bagpipe for a year.
Wow.
Bagpipe lessons. Didn't get too far, but if AC/DC needed me to get up there and, you know, toot it a little bit, I probably could work something out.
Totally cool. Well, yeah, about the album cover art, if you have a chance to see the cover of This Is Somewhere, it's just the amazing documentation of an event that took place when?
1976. It was a bicentennial.
And what, to explain this?
Well, it was the United States bicentennial, and this guy hired my dad to come down and photograph. He had created the world's largest American flag, which to me is just so... it's one of those male-dominant things.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be the biggest. But how large is it? It was like...
It was 7 acres, or each stripe was like 7 acres long, and then the whole thing was... I mean, it was literally... I want to get the actual footage, but I have a piece of the flag in my apartment, and it has to stay folded up because it fills way more square footage than my little apartment does. So it's enormous, and that's just... one big panel of white. There isn't even any red or blue. You know, you're wow. seeing, it's a really strikingly large thing, and it was made by a sail company, like a sail making company. Uh-huh. But what happened was, you know, they went to do the practice day. It was, I guess, you know, a couple days before July 4th, and they wanted to raise the flag just to make sure everything was going to be good. So they blocked everything off, you know, closed off the bridge. It was, I think the Triborough Bridge is where they did it. I could be wrong. But then all the traffic is waiting and everybody's watching and they hoist this flag up. But one little glitch was that the sail-making company never made any ventilation holes. And the flag was so large, the wind picked up to about 12 knots. And it was taxing the structure of the bridge so much that they had to hoist people up in pulleys with knives to cut the flag apart, because that's the only way they could take it down, because it was like a suction cup to the bridge and you couldn't pull it down, so you had to cut it apart. So all the footage is of this flag sort of being torn apart, you know, unintentionally, but the ego behind it is what I thought was so amazing, that it kind of, it really, it transcended all those ideas, and just in one photograph it says so much more than I could possibly say now.
We're going to hear a bunch of songs from the album live, but I want to talk a little bit about writing and, writing in general. One of the things I've read you say early on, and I don't know if this is still true or not, is that one cannot assume autobiography in the songs. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to something like Stop the Bus, and I'm wondering about that. Mm. So
it's a little more autobiographical this time around, for sure. I think, you know, I'm 24 now, so I've had some life experience this time. Whereas when I was 19 writing songs, all I wanted to do was you know, create characters that had more interesting lives than me. But my life is getting pretty interesting, and I'm kind of enjoying, you know, stepping out of the realm of just writing about characters and sort of getting into my own thing a little bit.
What about the political aspect of it? You start listening to Ah Mary, and you get one view of what the song is about, and quickly you realize what it's about. And
yeah, I mean, that was a choice I made, because I've heard a lot of anthemic songs that kind of slap you in the face and tell you, well, this war is bad and this and that. And it's not that I don't want to disregard anyone else's idea of how to make a difference, but I feel that if you want to really sort of seep through the subconscious, you can't just slap someone in the face with an opinion. You have to kind of sneak in there through the back door. And that's really what that song is about for me, you know, and letting it kind of mean whatever you want it to mean. People hear what they want to hear, and sometimes they don't hear. I've had a lot of people ask me who Mary is. A lot of people, and they're not being, you know, ironic. They really want to know, like, is this your girlfriend? You know, what's the deal? And so, I mean, I can't, you know, I don't want to be the one to tell them that. I think it's all about listening to it until you hear what you want to hear.
Well, yeah, a lot of artists say that is it's got to be about the listener's experience of a song. I was reading that Apologies is actually an older song.
Very old. See, that's probably why I went so far away from autobiographical songs, was because that song was so deeply personal. And it got me in some trouble, you know? I mean, that song told a very specific story, and, you know, I have not stopped hearing about it since. But it's finally been long enough that I could dig back into that song and not have it hurt so much, you know?
There's been always kind of a... I'm way on the outside of this, but there's kind of been a looseness to Grace Potter in the Nocturnals. It's been, you know, it's gotten a little more serious now, I would think. Are you happy with that turn in your life? Are you happy with the focus it's taken?
I think we all knew this is where we wanted to go. I think we've been ready, but we also haven't wanted to push it at the wrong time. And like I said at the beginning, it is important for us to know our sound before we take that big step into the national, you know, scope. And we didn't want to do it with the wrong record or the wrong, you know, live show or the wrong presentation. We've really thought about it a lot. And, you know, joining Hollywood Records and signing it to a label and all that stuff was a very specific decision. It's not like we've been, you know, swept up in this. We really bided our time. And
you could have signed a long time ago.
Well, very long ago, too long ago. we were a very young band, and Brian, our bass player, had just joined, like literally the week before we got our first big offer from Universal Records. And we just couldn't, you know, we weren't at the right place. Our music was so undeveloped, and... You know.
Well, Kudos to you for doing it this way, because it sounds right. Best of luck, and we'll tell you what, we'll just magically go to the stage and hear the set. Grace, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Grace Potter and to the Nocturnals. You can see that band really comes alive on stage. Their new album is called This Is Somewhere. Subdudes from Street Symphony, coming up on the World Cafe.